I'm not even sure there's a draft of that, of your draft.
I don't know.
I'll have to look again.
Whatever, it was obviously a case in which he knew what he wanted to say and improved on.
There was an ad hoc committee on civil rights, Kastenmeier, Foreman, Matthias, that Seller appointed.
I'm dimly remembering that.
Maybe. And then toward the end of 66, he created a special committee on civil rights and the judiciary committee that Matthias was on.
Mm-hmm.
Was that of any importance or significance, or do you remember anything about?
I don't remember much about it.
Is there anything else about open housing? Eventually, a bill is passed in 68. I really didn't find much in the files about
it. Well, once the issue got nowhere in the Senate, it pretty much died for that Congress, and until 68, when all of a sudden things changed, there was a general reluctance to try again if you were going to run into the same logjam in the
and
Senate.
Things changed in the Senate.
Yeah. Well, things changed in the country. But there was a great sense of sort of frustration about not being able to persuade the Everett Dirksons of the world, or primarily the Everett Dirksen of the world, to take this additional step in 66. And, you know, fairly soon, of course, the country and the Congress moved more into, well, on the one hand, obviously war issues, on the other, a lot more of a sort of social and urban issues.
But it might be argued
that
one got a broader law in 68.
Oh, no question. No question. You have to rehearse a lot of these things.
And you might not have gone beyond the 66 law.
Mm. No, and one thing that I think you find out in a lot of these attempts to pass this general kind of legislation is whether a vote hurts. And as usually is the case, a lot of members are a little wary about anything which they think is going to stir up a lot of opposition at home. You know, there are deficit and defense spending issues and so on that are labeled controversial, that you know that a certain number of interest groups are going to complain about. But when you get into this particular category of issues that affect people's neighborhoods, people's schools, people's churches, really what people think of as their private lives, you can get awfully nervous very quickly. And a lot of them, I think, found out in 66 that having voted for that bill did not do them any harm, and may even have done them some good that they didn't expect it would have, despite the realtors. And this is a kind of consciousness raising among politicians that's very useful. You learn that it's all right to vote for that, because you find out either that people really don't care as much as one profession may care, or that within limits at least, people are thinking a little more progressively than you give them credit for. So yeah, in that sense too, I think it sort of set the stage for some of the later efforts.
In 67, Matthias introduced the Civil Rights Injunctive Relief Act, which was the old Title III of the 66 Act. This is Is there a reason why?
I can't remember specifically about that one. Except it probably seemed worth keeping it alive.
Were you involved at all with the voting rights extension in 69? Or had that become a judiciary committee and judiciary staff?
It was primarily judiciary staff, but I don't remember too much specifically about it. It may have been a case in which, you know, his position was fairly easy to determine, and off it went.
Well, is there anything about civil rights or home rule that particular stories that we haven't talked about of memories?
Kinds of things that, in terms of stories, I think go more to the general attitude that he brings to this kind of question than any specific piece of legislation. And one of the really important things that I think anyone who has been associated with Mac for a while learns is this wonderfully inclusive kind of hospitality to people that he demonstrates not just in legislation but in the way he goes about dealing with people as a politician. And it's partly a real sense of a sort of small d democratic sense of the value of people, and partly an assumption which is usually justified that most people are pretty decent. This shows up in situations like the incident you mentioned about going to some meeting and having some black militant scream at him in 68. There are probably a number of white politicians who wouldn't have gone anywhere near a meeting like that in 68 because they didn't know what was going to happen, or who would have insisted on having a lot of police around very visibly, or who would just simply have been scared. Mac doesn't do any of those things.
You don't think he was scared?
I think he was nervous, but that's a little different from being, you know, afraid that you're going to get beaten up or shot or something. No, to a large extent, and, you know, in a kind of wonderfully sort of ingenuous way, it just doesn't occur to him sometimes that people are nasty this way. You know, it's a great faith in sort of the power of reasonableness, and will do things such as during Resurrection City. Does that mean anything to you in 68? From time to time, he would show up in the office in the morning with mud on his shoes, and it would turn out that he'd stop down to go talk to the people down there and just wander around and see what they were up to. And no publicity, no warning, nobody with him in most cases. You know, an encampment that was not totally popular. I was curious and sort of wanted to see, find out what they were doing. And maybe it wasn't any deep conversation, but, you know, simply making contact with them and getting some kind of a sense of why they were there and what they were doing. And this, you know, kind of congeniality and respect for people, I think underlies a lot of the kinds of compromises he's willing to pursue, you know, in this field as in others, but particularly in this field. Because, you know, if everybody were as basically decent as Mac Mathias, you wouldn't need any more than, you know, your most elementary kinds of bills. And if everybody can be brought along, you can gradually improve, gradually strengthen provisions, and sometimes you find out you don't need the stronger provisions. I don't know. You learn a lot besides the technicalities of civil rights legislation from